The truth is, I myself got confused while preparing this week. I was thrown off by the idea that there are actually two Siman Reish Tzadi Zions. last week we learned Siman Reish Tzadi Vav, which is Hilchos Kalei Akerem, and I looked at the next section in the Torah, which is Siman Reish Tzadi Zion, which is Hilchos Kalei Behema. So I was at, not that I say I prepared, you know, that much, but I at least had in mind, like, okay, we're moving past the seeds and moving on to the animals. But then, actually, after already starting preparing the shiur for tonight, I realized, hey, wait a second, there's Siman Reish Tzadi Zion in Shulchan Aruch, which is Hilchos Kalei Zerayim, and then it repeats itself as Siman Reish Tzadi Zion Hilchos Kalei Behema. So I'm not sure how this worked out, like why the Beis Yosef did it in this way. I mean, there is no separate section in the Torah. As far as I could tell, there is no separate Markovs with regards to things in the Torah or the Beis Yosef that are found in Reish Tzadi Zion Aleph as opposed to Beis. But nevertheless, at least it is a decent review to do at least the first two Sifim of Reish Tzadi Zion in the Shulchan Aruch itself, even though there's no Beis Yosef. So here we go. So we've spoken already about Kilei Eitzim, right? Grafting of trees together. We talked already about Kilei Akerem, which is mixing probably two seeds with a grape or in a vineyard or grape seed. And now we get up to just the mixing of two seeds. So here it says, Hazareya Beis Bineis Raim, if you just mix two seeds together, Ke'echad Ba'aretz, as one in the ground, Yisrael Loka, if a Yisrael does it, Ke'echad Ba'aretz, right, Yisrael Loka, Shenemar Sadecha Lo Tizra, Kilayim, that your field you shouldn't plant with Kilayim, Ve'echad Hazareya, Ohamechape, right? Whether you're the guy who seeds it, or if you're the the plower or the mixer. If there's one piece of wheat and one piece of barley, or a pool is like a pea or a bean, vadash is a lentil, achas menachem al aris v'chifu samba offering. You just mix it together. Bein biyado, bein biraglo. Whether your feet are with your hands are with your feet, you are chayiv malchus for that. Ve'achad azrei ba'aretz o ba'atzitz nakuv. That's whether you did it in the ground itself or in an atzitz nakuv, which is a pot with a hole in the bottom. Aval hazrei ba'atzitz she'enu nakuv makno so makas mardus. But if you do it with a atzitz she'enu nakuv, a pot that does not have any holes in it, so then you would not be chayiv d'oraisa. That would only be chayiv on a level of d'rabbanan. Okay, so this pretty much prohibits home gardens, right? This prohibits making gardens that have multiple seeds going on together. So what about for us at least, the decent, I don't know, good news, but the news is that this is only an issue in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, we are not choshish for this at all. So that's why in Sif Beis it says, Asu Lizora Kalaim Lovi Kochavim, Umutra Lomar Lov, actually, the first half actually has to do with asking, you're also, not only are you not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to have a non-Jew do it for you. Umutr lomer lo v'kacham lizra lo kali zrayim. What?
No seltzer today.
No seltzer?
Yeah.
Man. Sorry. Le'ovikacham is for an ovikachavim, and it is mutter to tell an ovikachavim to plant for you kili zrayim. But you would not be permitted to maintain his field, but rather you would be b'chayiv to uproot it. But if you do just maintain it, you're not going to be chayiv makos. So there seems to be something that is permissible here. Now this issue of what you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do, that's actually the main issue in the next siman, which reflects on all this stuff. But at least for now, so Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it. Umutul Yisrael Lizorai Kalei Zorayim Biyado, V'chutz La'aretz, you're allowed to do it by hand. V'chutz La'aretz, Afilu La'arev, Hazorayim L'chachila U'lazarim, V'chutz La'aretz, Mutter V'dvarim Elu Divrei Kabbalah. And doing any of this stuff in Chutz La'aretz is completely permissible, and that is Midivrei Kabbalah, which is interesting. I mean, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai, which I don't know, I thought the way we were learning it was, it's just it's not included in the Isser, meaning the Torah prohibits specific things, and it didn't prohibit in Chutz La'aretz. So here it's saying, no, Vidvarim Elu, like, that distinction that we're going to specifically permit it in Chutz La'aretz, which could actually explain why we're so makel. Meaning there is an idea that you can't prohibit something that is mefurish bakra, or something that is a beferish halacha moshe mi-Sinai. The Rabban can't come along and prohibit it. So that might be what's going on here. Meaning, why did the Chum take such a lax attitude with regards to Kalayim in Chutz La'aretz? So, well, it's halacha moshe mi-Sinai, that it's something that only applies in Eretz Yisrael and doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, and that perhaps is what's going on there. Okay, so anyways, that is the issue with Kalei Zerayim, because it doesn't really apply in Chutz La'aretz. I didn't get into it. What they do in Eretz Yisrael with regards to people that want to have their own gardens and things like that, I'm not sure. It seems like they have to be pretty machmir on it. That's why they have a full 40 sif simon on this issue that is not actually counted in the Torah Beis Yosef at all, which is interesting. But beyond that, I didn't go any further. So, yeah.
So, just to help me remember this, this does not apply outside Eretz Yisrael. Did we say that was also true of the grafting the trees?
No, grafting the trees does apply outside of Eretz Yisrael fully. And grafting in the vineyards applies in Chutz La'aretz, but there's no usher. There's besafek. You could allow everything besafek, meaning you wouldn't be allowed to go ahead and violate it directly. But any kulas surrounding it, we would be make a lot. And Gayim would be allowed to do it. Okay. What?
Thank you.
Right. Okay, so now we head into the issue of Kalei Behema. So Kalei Behema, there actually are two, this siman actually contains two totally, in a way, separate doraisa. Now, how much overlap there is between the two is a little bit of a question, which we will touch on. But the issue of Kalei, of mixtures of animals, is two issues. One is mixing the animals, meaning crossbreeding animals. That is one prohibition in the Torah that is found in Parshas Kedoshim, in this pasuk actually, right, the same pasuk that we had. Right, it mixes them all together. Sarchalo tizrak kalayim, and I think the second half of the pasuk talks about in behemos. Also, right? No, previous. There, bemtechelo tarbiya kalayim, and then sarchelo. They're mixed together in the same pasuk. And by yikur yates, pasuk yates. I don't have the full pasuk in front of me. Actually, I probably have it here. There it is. Esukosai tishmoru bemtechelo tarbiya kalayim. So your animals you can't mix for being kalayim. Sarchelo tizra kalayim. In your field you shouldn't plant kalayim. Uved kalayim shatnes lo yallach, and don't wear clothing of kalayim. Okay, so those are the three separate prohibitions that are found there. Now beyond that, in Parshas Kitetze, there's another isser of Kalei Behema, and that is the issue of mixing animals in terms of having them work together, right? So that actually is also in the Siman. That's the second half of Siman, Reish Sadi Zion 2.0, I guess. We'll touch on that, but that's probably going to be held off until next week. Okay, so where would I go in Shas to learn about these issues? So on page 2, I did put, there's a Gemara, there's little hints here and there. It is a Mishnah Maseches Kalayim. You would say that would be ground zero. I guess if you would be learning Yerushalmi, so that's where we would look to find these halachos. And they're scattered throughout the Bavli, meaning it is a relevant halacha. It's not relegated to Zerayim. In fact, yesterday I spoke at Torah Academy. They made a Siyam, in honor of Tu B'Shvat, they made a Zeder Zrayim Zuper Ziyam, I think was what they called it. And I was able to speak, and I said, okay, who here? So we learned Zrayim in honor of Tu B'Shvat, because like, oh, we hope to be doing this, but how much of which Mesechtos and Zeder Zrayim are practical Bizman Hazeh? Meaning, how many of you learned things that are just as practical Bizman Hazeh in Chutz La'aretz as they ever were? So one kid said Kalayim right away, which he was, I guess you'd say, half right, but it's not totally applicable in Chutz La'aretz, right? But Chala and Orla are. Those are the ones, and Brachos kind of didn't count. But this is part of Kalayim that certainly is relevant. So you find at the end of, it's a mission at the end of Maseches Kalayim, and then it pops up here and there throughout the Shas Bavli. So here it sort of shows up a little bit by accident towards the end of Maseches Bava Metzia. So it tells a story about Rav Papa. If you look in the Gemara here, it's about Ansadi Aleph Amid Aleph. It's about, what, halfway down. Amar Rav Papa. Where is it? There, Amar Rav Papa. All right, Hani Mili, there's a bunch of Amar Rav Papas. So Amar Rav Papa is the end of a line. Two lines before Emo Rav Papa. Right, there's Amar Rav Papa. Hani Mili Bo Minai Devei Rav Papa. He says these were asked in Rav Papa's yeshiva. Upashted Luhu Li Surah. And I paskin them L'Isser. So it's going to make the point that he paskin them L'Isser, even though it might not be. So Chada Kihilchasa, V'chada Delav Kihilchasa. One of them I paskined B'Isser, and I was correct in paskining B'Isser. And the other one I paskined B'Isser, even though I knew that it wasn't really Usser. Okay, so what is that? So Bamine Mahu Lalish. They asked me, what's the story with kneading dough and milk? Upashtihuli Surik Hilchasan. I paskin that that is prohibited, right? They're not allowed to make milk spread. The Tanya in Lush and Esa Isa Bachalavim Lush Kola Paskula Asura, Bivne Hergel Avera, because that will lead to Avera. Similarly, Kiyotibo Ain Tashin Esa Tanur Ba'alyavim Tash Kol Paskula Asura, Achi Yasik Esa Tanur. Period. Okay, that prohibition of making milk spread. You're not allowed to knead the bread with milk, nor are you allowed to coat the inside of the oven with animal fat, because that's going to make fleishik bread, and that's we discussed this at length probably about 10 years ago when we learned this siman tzadi vav, right? Is that what it is in your day at tzadi vav? Yes, your day. Sorry, tzadi zayin. Now we learned siman tzadi zayin in Basar V'Chalav. You could check the tapes. Next, then he says. And then the other thing they asked me was the following: Mahu lahachnis min v'she'enu minu l'dir. What is the issue with taking two different species and putting them in the same pen, putting them in the same cage? Upashti luhu li sura, and I paskined it was aser delav kehilchasa. But that wasn't the correct halacha. Meaning, I purposely told him it was aser, even though it's not aser. Damar Shmuel umi anafim ad sheyiru b'derech haminafim, because Shmuel says that in the case where we have minafim are adulterers. So when adulterers are together, so the edim don't necessarily have to see the actual act of adultery take place. It's enough to see them acting k'derech haminafim. All you have to see is, you know, they if it looks like adultery and smells like adultery, sounds like adultery, so it's that's enough to give aid on adultery and actually put them to death for it, even though you don't see the actual act. He says, uvikilayim, however, when it comes to mixtures of animals, achiyachnis kimikhul bishfoferis. For that, you need to wait for the kimikhul bishfoferis is like the applicator in the tube. Right, that's the term that the Gemara uses regularly to describe the actual maisebia. I mean, you actually have to see the actual thing take place for one to violate kelayim. So, masiv rav achtavoy bar ami ilu nemar behem techelo tarbiya ha'isi omer lo yechos adam behemim b'shash ola le'azachar. He says, had it said an animal that I shouldn't mate the two animals together, I would have thought that that means that I'm not allowed to put one animal, meaning hold an animal, in allowing the other one to mount it or something. Tamud lomar kilayim. Therefore, it says kilayim lav michal de kilayim achizanami lo. Meaning, even that is not going to be allowed. Meaning, what does achiza mean? Achiza means does not mean even holding would also be a problem. So the Gemara says no. My achiza hachnasa. But my karile achiza lishna ma'ali. Says no. When it says achiza, the idea of holding does not mean the holding one animal and allowing the other one to mount it. Rather, achiza means actually causing the, I'm not sure we call it bia or not, but it actually means this michal bishofaris, meaning the actual iser only is, it sounds like from this Gemara. Now, how conclusive this is a little bit unclear, but the Rishonim assume that what this Gemara is teaching us is that to actually violate the prohibition, to actually be chayiv makos for the issue of harvia behema im min she'eno mino, meaning in violating this din of kalei behema, of crossbreeding, you actually have to cause the sexual act to take place. It's not enough just to hold the animal in place. it sounds like it's not enough to place animal two on animal one. That's not enough. You actually have to do that, which I'm not sure. I didn't get a chance to call my breeding friends to find out how common that is to be done. But that seems to be that's the assumption of the Gemara. And not only that, that is going to be an Issur D'oraisa. The placing an animal or holding an animal in place, that's going to be an Issur D'Rabbanan. And the impression that you get, and the way we paskin from this Gemara, is the putting animals in the same pen together, that is heter gamor. That is completely mutter. Now, it's interesting, that's the case that we have here of Shmuel telling them you're not allowed to do that. And he's telling them, I told them you're not allowed to do that, but I was just kidding. Why did he tell them that? So the Gemara seems to go on to say because it was like a pritzus type of place, and he wanted to he wanted to impose these greater stringencies on them. Or the next second amud, it says that they were of the kananim, and they would have had impure thoughts. They would have it would have led to. It sounds like it could have led to their own bestiality. That's almost what it sounds like. But whatever. So I'm wondering, so why should nowadays we also live in a pretzis generation? So maybe we should go back to being prohibited. So I don't think anybody's making those types of takanos. So right, there's three categories of things that are discussed when it comes to kalei behema. One is actually putting the mikol bishvoferes, putting the applicator in the tube. That's Issur D'Oraisa. Placing one animal on top of the other, it sounds like that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. And then putting them together in the same pen, that's heter gamur. Unless you're Shmuel and feel the need to prohibit it on that generation. Okay, so that is the largest sugya that discusses this in the Gemara itself. So this then shows up in so this is then recorded in the Torah in the Beis Yosef. So that's, I guess, page 3 in the sources there, right? So the Torah says, "Ksiv behemtecha lo tarbiya kalayim v'lav dafka behema elahua din nami chai v'of." Yeah, this is a different Gemara, where the Gemara just says, Halacha Moshe Misinai includes everything, right? Not just a behema, rather even wild, not just behema are domesticated animals, but even wild animals and birds. The Hilka Chamarbiya min im she'eno mino, bein behema im behema. If you put one type with another type. Now, putting one type with another type is a questionable thing, as we saw already with the seeds. Meaning, how exactly do you distinguish between what's a different species and what's not a different species, and things like that. Especially in the context of this, where sometimes the way of distinguishing whether they're different species or not is to see whether they mate with one another. Rabbi, at a RCA convention, I think it was RCA convention recently, right? So Rabbi Ganak spoke about the latest trends, or latest issues in kashrus, and I think he was discussing that there was an egg shortage because must have been 4 or 5 years ago. There was an egg shortage, and because there were chickens that weren't producing at high enough rates in America. Now there's another egg shortage. But I'm not sure the eats is going to work. Because 5 years ago, they said, all right, let's import eggs from China. So they decided, we're going to import eggs from China, chicken eggs from China. But then they realized, hey, wait a second, how do we know that those eggs are actually from chickens? So they have to send the Mashkiach out, right? And Mashkiach goes and say, lo and behold, they are chickens, but the chickens looked a little different, right? They weren't exactly the same as American chickens. So that becomes a little somewhat controversial especially in the bird situation, because the halacha is, at least for Ashkenazim, that Ashkenazim require a Mesorah when it comes to birds, right? We can't just, with animals, you can look, does it chew it cud and have split feet, right? And according to most poskim, that is sufficient, at least most poskim this side of Bnei Brak, right? That is sufficient. But when it comes to birds, you need a Mesorah on it. So they looked at these birds, they looked a little bit different, right? So could they rely on the eggs of these unusual Chinese birds and count them as being the same Mesorah as regular chickens, and include them under the standard chicken Mesorah that we use in Europe? right? Even chickens itself. You may have, if those interested in following the the Natan Slifkin blogosphere over the last couple of years, even chickens themselves have gone through their own controversies over the last couple of years. So now you're going through a different species of chickens. That perhaps makes matters worse. So I remember Aganek saying, he said, so we, I think he said we flew out an American chicken or something like that. All right, we sent out American chickens and saw whether they would breed together, right? The fact that they were able to breed together, so that was enough to indicate to us that they're enough of the same species. So the truth is, now we bring that over here, the fact that they're breeding together, that's not necessarily the same species when it comes to Kalayim, right? That all of a sudden is, well, wait a second, they are breeding together, and yet it's still going to be Kalayim, right? So how different species do they need to be? This is one of these, like, nobody really has a great answer as to what, as to how far or how close they need to be in order to be considered the same or different species. But the good news is that it's not so easy to violate the prohibition, right? The prohibition really is only if you, right, actually create a union, not if they join together, right? If they happen to like each other and, right, they meet on chickens at Sinai, right, and they decide that they're a good match for each other, and we could just keep our hands off and let nature do its work, and we don't have to worry about any yisurim coming from this. But anyways, bein im tmeim afilu b'mini chaya shavim loke bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, right? So whether they're tamei, whether they're tahor, right, if they're different minim, so then they are going to violate the prohibition, whether in Eretz Yisrael or whether in chutz la'aretz. Okay, there is a little, all right, we'll pass on that for a minute. Next, Beis, ve'eno loke ad she'ichanes b'mikchol b'shofaris. Now, you only get makos if you actually do this, that's that term again, right? The applicator in the tube. Aval yisura ika afilu im yala zel ze o yazriyim b'kol. But there is an isser. Now, truth is, I said before, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not so clear it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. It might be an Issa D'Oraisa without a Chiyuv Makos. But if you take one animal, put one on the other, or, and this one I'm not sure how this works, O Yazrim Bakol. Now, what does that mean, Yazrim Bakol? So there's a little problem with the Girsa here, right? If you see Gimel sends you to the Prisha on the bottom, and it says Ya'oram. So Yazrim means to help them, Ya'oram means to yell at them. But if you somehow urge this union with your mouth, so you're also in violation of the Isser. So, I'm not sure what the magic words are that you need to say. The truth is, I don't think that, I'm not sure that terminology is actually in the Mishnah itself. I think that terminology comes from the Rambam. But the Rambam says that if you, encourage the birds, or animals, say, you say to Lucy, like Lucy the cow, go hang out with Billy the bull, and Billy the bull is a nice guy. He'll treat you well, and everything will be great, and you'll have wonderful children together. So I don't know. Is that Yazrim Bakol? I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know where the Rambam draws his lines. And then we continue on, and then Dalet and Gimel. So Dalet and Gimel, you see here, is out of order, right, from what it appears in Shulchan Aruch, but the tour continues on. Va'asrli Yisrael sheyitin behemto legoy sheyari venelo. He says not only that, but it's also prohibited for a Jew to give his animal to a guy that the guy will do this crossbreeding on his behalf. Right? Now that is a controversial statement. Why would that be? What exactly is the issue? So we'll get back to that. And then Gimel is aval mutter lachnisan bedir biyachad. It is permissible to put them in the same deer in the same pen, ve'eno zakek la'afrisham, afilu roa sherovim zedze. Even if you see, Billy the bull hanging out with Shira the sheep, right? So that you're not required to separate them, right? You could let them be, let nature take its course, and wait to see who, what comes out. Okay, so that is the tour, at least so far. By the way, hay is anything that's born from this is mutter bano v'achil imhu mina tower mutter l'kaimel. Meaning, if it's born and it's kosher and everything is fine, so it's kosher. Meaning, if it's born and has the simanu of being a kosher animal, so it would be considered to be a kosher animal. Just because it's a mixed breed doesn't mean that it has any impact on the next generation in terms of it being usher. So now, So the Beis Yosef in Aleph quotes what we've quoted so far, so too in Beis, right? That's it quotes there from the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. Dalit with regards to the Goyim here. So that's where things get a little right. So there the Gemara asks, Ibailahu, Mahu Shiyomar Adam Legoy Chasum Parasi, Vidoshba. Okay, so right, the Torah stuck in this line, oh, and you're not allowed to give it to a guy in order to do it for you. Why not? So if I were just to ask you, what's the problem, right? That I'm not allowed to have these two animals breed together. I'll go to my that guy that we sold the chametz to in Phoenix, right? The farmer guy, right? I'll call him up and say, hey, I got these two animals. You know how you buy that chametz from us over before Pesach? I have another job for you, right? Would you mind breeding these two animals, right? So what's the problem with me asking him to do that? So the quick answer, right? So there's two possibilities, really, that gets discussed here. So the Beis Yosef really presents one of them, but the truth is that one is a little controversial, very controversial, right? What's the easy answer would be is that, well, that's what we call amir la'akum, right? That I can't tell him on Shabbos, I want you to turn lights on for me. So just I can't tell him on Shabbos, I want you to turn lights on for me. I can't tell him even during the week, I want you to breed the cow with the sheep, right? That would not be allowed. So the Gemara is in that section, actually, where the Gemara asks, Yibayluhu ma'u shiyomar adam legay chasum parasi v'doshba. Right, so this is a little bit of a different isser, but a similar issue. Right, a person tell a guy, I want you to muzzle the mouth of my animal and dush with it, meaning there's a prohibition in a Jew muzzling his animal to thresh. So can I tell a guy, listen, you take my animal, you muzzle its mouth, and you thresh with it. Right, so the Gemara asks that question. Right, v'dashba. So mi amrin do we say kamrin amir legay shvus hanimil inyan Shabbos de iser skila. Do we say mi amrin ki amrin amira legay shvus? When we say that there's a prohibition of amir la'akum hanimil inyan Shabbos, that's only with regards to Shabbos de iser skila, because there's an iser skila there. Aval chasima de iser lav lo. Right? But this is a much lesser, prohibition than Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos, I understand, Shabbos is a very serious thing, and for me to ask a guy to do it, right, so that would be prohibited. But maybe when it comes to other areas of halacha, maybe it's not applicable. Other areas of halacha, what's the, you know, that we're not going to be as chamor as that, I could ask non-Jews to do things on my behalf. O Dilma, or maybe, Lo Shna. Or maybe it doesn't matter. Meaning an Isser of Amir La'akum is going to be applicable whether Hilchos Shabbos or whether Hilchos Parah, whether all of these things. So what's the answer? So the Gemara never answers that, right? The Gemara says V'lo Ifshita, right? So that's what we refer to as a Boy de Lo Ifshita, right? It's a question that was never answered. So how would we then paskin so therefore what is it? So therefore it's a Suffolk, right? It's a Suffolk. So now if I were to ask you Amir La'akum, with regards to animals, right? So, is it prohibited? So you would say, well, it's a suffik, right? The Gemara never answers that. So therefore, would I paskin l'chumra, or should I paskin l'kula?
Chumra.
What'd you say?
Chumra.
Chumra. Why? Is he plus you read the next word?
Oh, because it's in the Torah.
Ah, where's in, well, what's, no, but what's in the Torah, though? Meaning, do I have a, is this a suffik, what's the rule? The rule is suffik deraisa l'chumra, suffik derabanan l'kula, right? So this is an issue in the Torah, but the issue of Amira La'akum is at worst, we would assume, an Issur Durabanan, right? So here, the Beis Yosef quotes it as Baidul Ifshatav V'Lechumra, and we're going to pass on L'Chumra, V'Chein Pasuk HaRambam, but we'll see, wait a second, actually I think it's in a footnote, might be in a footnote here. Yeah, right, the footnote here, Mishnah L'Melech Sham Tema asks, Kema Dehavi Safik Durabanan. He says, what's going on here? That's not a Safik Doraisa, that's a Safik Durabanan, right? The question isn't whether we're going to violate an Issur Doraisa by mixing them, the issue is only that we're only going to violate Amir al-Akum. That's only a din derabanan. So what are you driving me crazy telling me Safik de'oraisa l'chumra? The whole thing is only a derabanan in the first place. So that's the question that the Mishnah Lamelech asks. Now, he asks that with regards to that halacha, right? That halacha, and it's a good question, and the truth is, that Mishnah LeMelech, actually, I think it might be in the list of sources. I think it might be the last Rambam. I give you three Rambams. So there, the Mishnah LeMelech doesn't answer. He thinks the Rambam's wrong. He's like, I don't know where the Rambam got this from, right? It should only be an Isser Durabanan. The issue, however, but pulling it back to over here, by Hilchos, to apply it to kill a behema is a little bit even more controversial. Why is that? So, do we see it here on the page? I forget. I think the Drisha might. Yeah. So the Drisha here at the bottom, long Drisha, quotes that Gemara, quotes the Rambam, and. Yeah, so he continues on. It says Vani Omer. Right, see the Drisha about five lines down. He says Vani Omer. Says the Drisha. The Medibay lay the Gemara that from the question the Gemara inyan Chasima v'lo inyan Harva. He says, hey, you know, it's interesting. The Gemara only asked that question with regards to Chasima, with regards to the issue of muzzling the animal. It didn't ask it with regards to Rava. It didn't ask it here. It only asked it with that din. So we're just going to extend it from one to the other. It says, not necessarily. It says, Shema mina, darva behema, v'chein bahar kava, de'ilan, pashut lahibayin, shashem iser. He says, with the reason why the Gemara didn't ask it with regards to crossbreeding animals or cross-grafting trees is because whoever was asking that question knew that it was usser. Right, knew that these would be prohibited. Why? What's the difference? He says, "V'lav mitam amira la'akum." He says, not because of amira la'akum that harkava, that kilei behem would be prohibited. He says, "Shvus be'iser lav el mishum de b'nei Noach mitsuyin al harkava sa'ilon varvas behema." He says, why is it prohibited to ask a non-Jew to do this? Because non-Jews are also prohibited in crossbreeding animals and crossbreeding trees, right? That's an isser for goyim, just like it's an usser for Jews. The chen kasav Rambam behedya the perek yud mi hilchos melachim, and the Rambam says it explicitly in hilchos melachim. This is a long section here, so maybe and where right? How did he pull that out? So he suggests the Drisha pulls this from a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin deals with the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And after figuring out what the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are, it then goes on and gives a couple of other potential prohibitions that would apply to non-Jews. So, and it wonders with a bunch of them, like, oh, and why did it not be the 8 Mitzvos B'nei Noach or the 10 Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? But there are a couple, that's where the issue of non-Jews learning Torah is talked about, and that's where the issue of non-Jews celebrating Shabbos is talked about, right? And one of the, there's Rebbe Eliezer there, mentions that, oh, by the way, I think the issue, there's an isser of Goyim doing Kalayim and mixing the animal kilei behema and kilei ha'etzim is usser there as well. So suggests the Drisha that it's not usser to ask a non-Jew to do it because of amir la'akum. The issue is that you're going to be telling them to do something that they're not allowed to do, right? It's an issue of lifnei iver, right? It's usher for them, just like it is usher for you to do this. Now, the Rebbe Eliezer himself says in the Gemara that while the Sheva Mitzvos, why is it not one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? Rebbe Eliezer says, oh, because the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, they'd be chayiv misa on, and this they're not going to be chayiv misa on, right? There's no death penalty if they violate it, but yet it's still usher for the non-Jews, just as it's usher for the Jews. He bases that on, I think we came across this a couple of weeks ago, that the pasuk seems to imply a previous prohibition, right? That pasuk that we quoted from in Vayikra is Eschotai Tishmoru, right? You're going to keep my laws, and the animals you shouldn't mix, and the kalayim of the sadi you shouldn't mix, and the clothing you shouldn't mix. So what's Eschotai Tishmoru? You're going to keep my laws. It sounds like it's reviewing laws that were already given. So Rebbe Eliezer says, when were these already given before? It must be that they were given at the end of Parshas Noach. In fact, I was reading today, I tried finding it quickly, I couldn't find it. But at the end of Parshas, at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, I believe. Do I have a Gemara here? I mean, a Chumash? I believe at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, it lists off, right, there's descendants there that are listed off. And one of them gets in trouble. Oh, there it is. Yes. In Pasuk, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, it says, Ve'ela b'nei Tzivon, Va'aya va'ana. Right? Who Anna and who's Anna? So Asher Matzah es Hayemim b'midbar. He was the one who discovered mules in the desert, right? Berosu es Hachamarim l'tzivon aviv, while he was pasturing the donkeys for Tzivon. So, right? Oh, who's that guy? He's the guy who discovered mules. So, what's that? So Rashi makes the comment that, yeah, he mated a donkey with a horse, and they had a mule. V'hu ayah mamzer, v'hevi psulim la'olam. And he was the one who brought psulim into the world. V'lama nikra shemam yamim, right? She'im asayim utalas alabrios, etc. So, it sounds like he did something wrong. What did he do wrong? Right? According to this, what did he do wrong? What's the problem here? So the suggestion is that, no, if it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bei Noach, you understand what the problem is. Now, I forgot the name of the person. I found this online. He asked, but wait a second. There's earlier people that it describes Yitzchak, I think, of using mules. So how could Yitzchak have used mules? I thought it's prohibited. I thought Anna was the one who figured it out. So no, Anna was the one who figured out that you could put them together, that you could actually force them to be put together and mate them that way. And that's the Isser. When Yitzchak was using mules earlier, that just happens to be horses and donkeys that met at Soyu at wherever, right? And they were able to, and those are mules that were made in a permissible way, as opposed to him who was making mules in a prohibited way. Okay, so all of a sudden we're introduced to, with this Drisha, the idea that this might be prohibited for non-Jews. And that seems to be sort of a major thrust of this sugya. So if you take a look into the Shulchan Aruch, how much time do we have here? Oh, running out of time. So if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch itself, so Aleph, Beis, and Gimel are all review, right? Markiv Zachar al Nekeva, you mix the male with the female, which is not the same type. Ein behema b'mechayev ovos v'afil b'mino chayev shebiyam harez elok. On all of those, you would be chayev makos. I think the Gra here points out that the Rambam disagrees on this, but we'll say that for later on. He says, ein elok achi chanez, and you're not going to be chayev makos until you actually put them together. But if you just put one on top of the other, or you encourage them, hayumakin, that would be chayev makos mardus. Gimel, mutul haknis shnei minim ladir. It's permissible, however, to put them in the same pen. Echad v'imra'a, osam rovim zetze, eno zaka klafishim. You see them going after one another, you don't have to separate them. Now, the Ramah adds here, interestingly enough, uvamakum te'ika lemechish lepritsusa da'avdi, iser aser haknis afilu ladir. Right, which is based on that Gemara. He's quoting from the Muke Yosef. Right, the Muke Yosef points out in the back of that Gemara that Shmuel was uncomfortable putting animals together, telling people that it was permissible, even though he knew it was permissible, because some kind of preetz is going around. So the Ramah actually quotes at Lahalacha, that if you're in a situation of significant preetz, so then it would make sense to separate them, and the Shach discusses that. And then we get up to Dalet, where he says, Aser l'Yisrael litin behemtol ovikol chavim laharbiya, that it's prohibited for Yisrael to give the animals to a non-Jew laharbiya, to have them mate together.
We have nine people here that haven't davened. Should we daven here, or should we daven at LS?
If... I'm happy to have it here.
To ask you.
What?
We're about to ask you.
What's to ask me? We have 10 people here, right?
Yeah.
If whoever is willing to stay, then here. That's it. Yeah. So v'chein. So aser l'Yisrael litin behem to lo yikochavim laharvia, right? So it's prohibited for Yisrael to give an animal to Ovi Kochavim to do this with. V'chein kol amira, and the Ramah adds in, like all amira la'akum, afilu be'isr lav isura imlo sha Ovi Kochavim osal nas atma. But he says, like all Ovdei Kochavim, like all amira la'akum, it's only usr if the Ovi Kochavim is not doing it for his own benefit. Meaning if the non-Jew has his own reasons for why he would want to do it together, so then it's permissible. Usually we didn't cover it, but in the Darkei Moshe, he quotes the idea, actually no, sorry, that's not, it's here in the Piskei Tshuva, the idea that, about telling a non-Jew to take a mixture, let's say you say to a non-Jew, hey, I need you to uproot that tree. And you know the way that he uproots a tree is that he's going to take his his horse and his mule, or whatever, his horse and his bull, and put them in the same yoke and have them schlep the tree. So Piskei Teshuva says, that's mutter. Why? Because he's doing it l'hanas atzmo, meaning you're paying him to get rid of the tree. You know what he's going to do, but you're paying him to get rid of the tree, and he's doing it on his own. So you never told him to do that. He's doing it in a prohibited way for himself, right? It's comparable to, on Friday night, you ask a non-Jew to do the dishes in your house, knowing that they're going to use the hot water. The dishwasher is a little bit more complicated. But you know that they're going to use the hot water. So why is that okay? So the answer is because they're allowed to do whatever they want. I mean, they could use the cold water, right? They just happen to use they decide to use the hot water. That's for themselves, right? It's actually a big issue in the kashrus world about like if you have these big conventions where there's multiple floors that are available on Shabbos, and there's like multiple floors. So you tell the non-Jew, hey, can you bring this cake to the upstairs, to the fifth floor ballroom? So you know that he's going to take the elevator, right? He knows he's going to take the elevator, but he could take the stairs, right? So at what point do you limit that? I mean, at what point do we say, oh, well, he takes up to the 20th floor, right? He could take the steps if he wanted to take the steps, right? But he's obviously not going to. So that's different organizations have their own policies over that issue, right? But the but with regards to having the non-Jew do the revia, so right, so that it says that we are prohibited to ask him to do. Now, what's the reason why? So the Ramah seems to be saying the reason is it's an Amir L'Akum concern, right? Just as you're not, whatever the rules are about Amir L'Akum and Shabbos are going to transfer over, right? The Shach then gets in trouble. He talks about the Drisha and gets in trouble with regards to that, that maybe it really is usser for the non-Jew to do. It's an interesting Shach. Minchas Chinuch is very unhappy with the Shach. It's actually one of the few times that the Shach seems to just, the Nudav Yehuda also is very unhappy with the Shach. It's one of the few times that I've ever come across that there's doesn't seem like there's much of a defense for the Shach, but I think we're running out of time here. So maybe we'll pick up with this next week.
Okay, I'm going to just stay. Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.